Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, you big wallies. It's me, Lou Sanders, and this is Cuddle Club. I've been dancing on ice. Well, I've been doing something on ice. I don't think you can describe it as dancing. I'm practicing for the show Dancing on Ice, and I got my lovely trainer, and he said the finesse and elegance is a problem, and everyone thinks I'm going to be really good because I'm roller skating, but it's a totally different body posture, and basically I've got the elegance of a warthog. He didn't say it, but he said it with his eyes. Oh, we're gearing up towards Unforgivable Series 4, lucky girl, and I took a horse out into the regions, and it's called the Honesty Horse. So I was in the regions with the Honesty Horse. We did a little jingle. I just got loads of people around different cities to tell me the worst things I've ever done. And some people are so nice. Lovely to see some men that have got better morals than I imagined for them. Bless them. Yeah, really getting over my burning resentment towards men. And I actually think there's some lovely chaps out there. So well done, everyone. Oh, talking of nice guys, this guy is fantastic. I love him. I've read his books. I've listened to his podcast. I'm a big fan of his work. And he's so interesting and he's so nice. And this is a very, very interesting podcast. He's a psychologist, don't you know? And he's an author and he's a podcaster. And his name is Richard Wiseman. And I've mentioned him before in my work because he has influenced my life with a book called The Luck Factor. Anyway, here he is now. Hi. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I start with a hello. Yeah, very good. I was just saying that your book, The Luck Factor, you've written loads of books. You're now going on to kids' books.
I have. I've just written my first kids' book, which was a joy.
And what's that about?
It's about magic and well-being. So it's about teaching kids magic tricks, which has been done for many years in kids' books, but really teaching them confidence and social skills and creativity and all those wonderful things that come with performance.
Oh, so, I love that. And you like to put good things into the world. Is that, do you consciously try and do that?
Well, yeah, you just sort of think, you don't really make the world a worse place. I mean, it's always already fairly bad, so the bar's quite high on that one. So it's nice to go to bed at night and think you've done something that potentially might help somebody somewhere.
Yeah.
That helps you sleep.
We were just talking about, because you said something that one of my healers said. You said, I've got a healer. You've got a healer? I said, I've got two. But
I like the idea of having a healer.
Yeah. Do you want her number? She's great.
What does she heal?
Well, just sort of, she works on energy and stuff. Because you are a science guy, correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm a research psychologist, yes.
A science guy, I call them. But you have got a penchant to the, for the, a penchant for the...
That's a very good word.
Spiritual, would you say? Or not spiritual?
No, I'm probably not very spiritual.
No, but you did an episode of your podcast that was about... psychics.
Yes, and I'm quite sceptical of them.
Yeah, I'm sceptical of psychics.
Right, I'm quite sceptical about matters paranormal.
Do you believe in... Well, everything's energy, right? No, you don't think that. But isn't that quantum physics, if you think about it?
I don't understand very much about quantum physics. Mm. I'm not alone in
that. There you go. It's written six books. Quite funny to do that.
I understand, in fact, nothing about quantum physics. Yeah. I did an A-level in physics a very, very, very long time ago. It's probably all changed.
Physics has changed.
I'd imagine so. So I did that, and I've always been quite sceptical about such things. It's because I've got a magic back. If you've got background as a magician, you see, you're used to doing little miracles and people going, oh my goodness, how's that done? And you know that there's a sneaky little secret in there.
I'm going to surprise you here.
Oh yes, go on then.
I don't believe in magic.
What? This is outrageous.
Although my friend...
You just told me about your two healers.
Yeah, that's true. No, I believe magic's everywhere. Well, there's a lot of serendipity knocking about, I'll say that much. Like, I said to my friend, we're going to see a rainbow in a minute. It had just been raining and the sun came out, sure. But I turned around the corner and we saw the biggest rainbow.
Right.
And then every time I think of someone, they usually text or call quite quickly. Right. You must have done work on this area.
I have done a little bit of work on that.
Well, please enlighten us.
Well, there might be times you're thinking of people and they don't call or they don't text. But we can test it.
Oh, yeah.
So... Next week, next 7 days, just think of me at some point and I'll text you at some point and we'll see where those two things, there we are.
Okay,
we can do
great.
A live study.
What a way to get into my phone, Richard.
Well, it's your phone. I'll just text anyone.
Have you heard about the experiment of rice? I'll continue. I saw it on Instagram, so that's how you know it's good. There's three pots of rice and underneath you write love, nothing or hate, and then you tell the rice... I love you. You don't do anything to the other one. And the other one, you say, I hate you every day. Mm. And you see how they change.
How does rice change?
Like,
did one of them become like a lovely rice pudding?
No, but it's that sort of thing.
Right. I would like that because that is actually my favourite dessert.
Rice pudding.
Yeah. If I could send love to a bowl of rice and it turned into a rice pudding, I would be prepared to do that. In fact, that's what I'm going to do next week.
Can I ask you about your podcast?
Yes, please.
Lovely.
Please.
I love your podcast.
Oh, that's very kind.
And like I say, the luck factor changed my life. And well, I've said about it in a Guardian article and my book.
Sweet.
It is so good because I'm obsessed with, well, why don't people understand that when they're negatively thinking and that becomes a habit, their life is going to be so much worse for it?
It's a very fundamental point. You'd think most people would grasp quite quickly.
Yeah.
But actually, I mean, the luck factor was written 20-something years ago now. And still... there's pushback from people kind of going, oh, actually, life is terrible and the glass is half empty.
They don't want to be responsible.
Absolutely.
The Guardian article that I wrote about, so it's like a thing that changed your life. And I said, my friend Jules saying to me, I was so negative, she couldn't hang around with me. That was like a lightning moment where, and it took me years and years to change my thinking. Mm. But I read books like The Luck Factor, did everything I could to change my thinking because I thought, oh, I'm a bummer to hang out with and I'm going to negatively affect my life. Anyway, when I did that article in The Guardian, there were so many comments going, oh, nice try, trying to get us into a cult and stuff. And you're like, I'm trying to I'm saying what helped for me and it might help for you.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of that. I mean, the story behind The Luck Factor is kind of interesting. The original pitch was for a skeptical book about the paranormal.
Ah.
And that went out. And every publisher in London that it went to said, we're not interested. So I was very upset because I'd spent like 10 years working on paranormally things.
Shit.
And I thought that's the end of that.
Yeah.
And then I met up with my agent and there was this chance comment where he just said, oh, what else are you working on? And I said, I'm doing stuff on luck. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I think luck is the way you think and behave primarily and that you can change people's luck by getting them to think and behave differently. And he said, that's an amazing book.
Yeah.
And we put that out and it became my first sort of big book.
Wow.
But it actually comes back like so many of these things to a chance comment. I mean, I almost didn't go in for the meeting. We're just going in and I was just kind of going in to say, well, that didn't work out with the paranormal book, did it? And that was that. The 59 seconds, things you can do in less than a minute, came about because I met a friend of mine as a CEO. Had lunch with her. She was deeply unhappy. And she said, you understand about happiness. What can I do to make myself happier?
Aww.
I start to explain. And she looks at her watch and says, you know, I'm quite busy. Can you get on with it?
CEO more like.
So I said, how long have you got? She said, about a minute.
Oh, great.
And I thought, well, what can I explain in a minute? And I started to explain things about, I don't know, whether it's gratitude or whatever it was. And I thought, you know what? There's loads of psychology things you can do in less than a minute. Had I not had the lunch, had she not said that thing, had I not had that, blah, 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 that book would never have happened.
But this is what I'm talking about, back to the rainbow serendipity, in a way.
Absolutely.
It's like if it's meant to be, there'll be little things along the way. Do you believe in that?
I think... that if you keep your eyes open and your ears open and are flexible in the way forward, there's lots of opportunities out there. It's when you become fixed. It's when you go, no, I am doing a book on the paranormal and that's that.
Yeah,
and if they don't like it, well, I'm going to write it anyway.
Yeah.
I think it is about, you know, knowing where you want to end up, but the way you get there is a bit like a good sailor. You look at the wind and you go in one direction or the other. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Go with it.
I think we believe a lot of the same things, but we frame it in different ways.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
But that openness, that flexibility, I do think sits at the heart of well-being, not fighting life, but to some extent going with it.
But it's all in the same thing about the attitude. So winners will believe they're lucky and look for opportunity, and then everyone else thinks they're hard done by and a victim and looking for how they've been effed over.
I had that with the lucky and unlucky people. I did about probably 1,000 interviews, and they would come in and often describe the same life event, the lucky and the unlucky people. But one would think this was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And another would go, my goodness, this was terrible.
Yeah.
So I can remember one lucky person came in with their leg in a cast because they'd broken their leg. And I said, oh, probably not the luckiest thing. And he said, you are kidding me. I could do some time off work. Last time I went to hospital, I fell in love with a nurse. We're happily married 20 years later. Best thing that ever happened.
Wow.
And yet another unlucky person would come in with a similar sort of injury, and this was an absolutely terrible thing. So to some extent, not completely, but some extent, yes, it is the perception of what's happening to us.
Why do victims get on my nerves so much?
Victims of what?
Well, people... Why do people that, you know, that their life is fine, but they're like, woe is me.
They don't annoy me. I feel sad because I can see a different life.
Yeah.
I can see a different life. I can see a life where that person grows and develops and is happy.
Yeah.
And yet they seem to be, they've built this cage around themselves.
God, that is a wonderful way of putting it. That's beautiful. Whereas I'm looking at them thinking, cheer up, you cunt. That's different. But actually, if I'm my best self, that's what I'm thinking. And also because I think I've changed my life. I'm still negative a lot of the time. Don't get me wrong. I haven't done a 380, but 360?
I think it's 360, but I like a 380. 360 plus 20. It's turning right the way around and almost coming back again.
I see you 360, I raise you 380. So I sort of think, I'm so glad I did it and I do want them to do the others. But yeah, and then there's a negative reaction to them. So that's still negative. Oh dear, there's always work to be done.
But I think even that, just seeing hope in difficult situations is an astonishing skill.
Yeah.
And I suspect animals don't have that skill. But we have this astonishing ability to think that the world will be better, that our lives will be better in the future, and that we can make that happen. And that's an astonishing ability.
But then it's going away from the now. And then Eckhart Tolle would say, you've got to live in the now and think it's okay now.
I think that's true. But still, I think what drives people forward is the fact that this will change, as indeed their lives will.
Yeah.
And so if good things are happening to you, well, that will probably change in the future. So enjoy what's happening because it won't stick like this.
Yeah.
And if bad things are happening, no, that will change in the future and things will probably get better.
Yeah.
So change is probably at the heart of what I do.
Yeah. And do you give people tests, psychological tests, like when you meet them? Or are you always kind of analysing people?
People say that about psychologists, but we're really not. Well, at least I'm not. I don't know. But I'm not a
subconsciously clinician. I guess everyone is, though, right?
I think a lot of people are just thinking about themselves and they're not too worried about other people at all. Yeah, I don't think I do that when I meet people. I try, must be a bit like you, I try and actually just make them laugh.
Okay,
I think laughter is underrated as a sound.
Yeah.
I think it's a phenomenal noise. How lovely is it when you walk past a room and hear people laughing?
Yeah.
So I try and make them laugh and try and make them smile.
Didn't you do a comedy course or something? I heard on your podcast. Well,
I've done a comedy course. I've done quite a few shows.
Yeah,
and I know a lot of comedians.
Oh, because you also incorporated it into the magic as well, I think.
Yes. Most magicians tend to try and do something vaguely humorous.
Yeah.
I'd take away the pain of the magic for audiences.
No, magic is really impressive because you really have to drill it.
Well, you have to spend a lot of time on your own practicing. Again and again.
And that's why they've got a reputation for all being virgins.
I beg your pardon. I've never heard such a thing. You come to a big magic convention and that will confirm.
They're banging left, right and centre.
Your expectations.
Have you got any rules for living? Because you're very wise, I think. Or like what's helped you sort of, you've already given us so much wisdom. Richard Wiseman for a reason, am I right? High five on that.
There we are. Very good. I've never heard that before.
No,
really?
I know. As I said it, I thought, oh, God, it's probably the 600th time. But we've got to enjoy ourselves. Quick fire questions.
Yes.
Quite agree. Are you ready for the quick fire round? Even though you didn't give us your rules for living.
I don't have any rules for living. I think... they're all going to be so dull. They're sort of living in the moment and all of that.
We need reminding.
See, this is the thing. Okay, so I don't really have big rules like that. I just have in particular situations things to do. It's much more sort of tactical. And I always think we underestimate the impact our words can have on other people.
Yeah.
So I was struggling, this was about 10 years ago, with a book that was not working. It wasn't working. I'd done a lot of books by then, so I knew this one wasn't hanging together. And it was stressing me out because the deadline was approaching. I phoned up a friend of mine and she said, "Oh, how's life?" And I said, "I've got this book and it's not working." And she said, "When do you think that's going to change?" And I said, "Probably in about a month's time." And she goes, "What, do you think it'll be better in a month?" "Yeah," I said, "I think I'll work through it." And she was getting me to give, I gave her my own solution, basically.
Oh,
so that simple question, "When's that going to change?" put me in a completely different frame of mind.
Wow, that's so interesting.
And so that's what I'm a fan of, that those kind of things we say to one another that changes somebody, nudges them in one direction or another.
Wow, I love that.
And so I frequently use that phrase now with people.
I think they should teach therapy at school, like teach people how to manage their emotion, mindfulness, being in the moment, asking questions like that to themselves. Because some people have got such shit home lives.
Yes.
They need tools to deal with it. And we're not...
it's one of the things I'm most passionate about.
Yeah.
Is it's phenomenal. We teach kids maths and geography and all that, which is all great.
Yeah.
And then they don't know how to deal with, as you say, their emotions or relationships.
And it's like middle class kids are fine because those parents are like learning, you know, to give them those tools and that language. Yes. And then the kids who've got loads of language to even describe their emotions versus the kids that haven't.
And also how to deal with failure, which is a phenomenally important skill.
Yeah.
And because it's going to happen to everyone.
Yeah.
And yet we don't tell kids, you know, how to become more resilient or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So yes, it would be a good thing.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time for the quick fire round.
Right.
You've done ever so well so far. Okay. Biggest mistake you've made.
I would reject the premise.
I love that. That's beautiful.
I've always tried to track down who wrote this. It's not my idea. Someone said, if you've got a glass jar full of bits of wool.
Yeah.
And you really like it. It's beautiful. You can't say, you know what? I don't like the blue bits, though. Let's fish them out.
Yeah.
Because if you take out the blue bits, it changes everything.
Mm-mm-mm.
And that's how I look at mistakes.
Yeah.
You can't fish them out and go, I just want the rest of it.
They're
part of the whole thing.
Oh, I must have asked you that for a reason. Love it. Is gossip bad?
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of psychology on that. If you gossip about somebody, what people tend to do is associate the negative traits you're assigning to the person with you.
Oh.
I've got a rule on stage
because
it's very easy to say negative things about well-known people and so on.
Yeah.
My rule is, if they were sitting in the front row, would you say it? And if you would, say it. And if you wouldn't, don't.
So is gossip bad? Yes.
If you mean negative gossip, then it may well, it's like the old saying that when you point one finger at somebody, you've got three, four. Three fingers.
Yeah, three fingers.
And the thumbs in at some odd place. It could be pointing back.
You know I'm not good with numbers. 380, 360.
You've got at least three.
It's a well-known phrase, but I'll just come in with a few of my own ideas.
And that's a great book idea, 380.
Yeah,
360 plus a little bit extra.
Yeah. Okay, so it's bad, yeah.
Well, in the sense that what you're pointing out with somebody else, other people often see in you, basically.
Ooh, I love it. How do you know if you're paranoid or everyone does really hate you? It's a lovely quick one.
So, as a psychologist, I'm fascinated by the way in which people behave. I'm not really interested in what they say very much.
Oh.
So if they want to be around you, then they probably like you, regardless of what they say about you.
Yeah.
And so I always just judge people on what they do. It's the most straightforward measure of how they actually think.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry too much. If people want to be around you, I wouldn't worry too much about anything else.
That question wasn't for me anyway.
No.
Okay. Last question. If you were called Richard Stupid Man,
Do
you think...
Which I frequently am, to be honest, colleagues.
Do you think you would be so... Would you be so clever? And I mean that as a question.
I think your surname was Stupid Man, which is not one I've come across very much. I think it'd be...
It would bleed in, wouldn't it?
It would bleed in. It would be hard.
Yeah.
Richard Idiot.
Yeah.
Please welcome Richard Idiot.
Yeah. It's like the names... Wasn't there studies done... Listen, I'm not a scientist, but I'm sure there's been science studies done on... There's been loads on labelling.
There has, and the effect that you... And the idea that you sort of drift into the occupation that suits you. And,
yeah.
And, yeah, it probably wouldn't be good for your self-esteem.
But I think your name... probably has impacted in a good way on you.
Yeah, maybe. Well, except it's a W, of course, which means that when your books are lined up by alphabetical order, my books are always right towards your feet, down at the bottom.
Damn it.
Yes.
So, you can go in and move them. I did that the other day, but I did knock a display over as well at the same time. So that was awkward.
You're an S. It's not quite so bad.
It's not good.
It's not good. No.
I'm going to change my name to A. Lou A.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You could put this music under anything. Now we're going to play the touch quiz.
Right. I don't know what that is.
Well, it's you've got five questions. Oh, you'll be good at this. Five questions
right.
to think about what I'm touching. It's not rude. And I will give you some clues, otherwise it's very hard.
Okay.
And your time starts... Well, it's actually not timed.
Well, are you actually touching something?
No. No, it's just in my head.
All right.
But I'll think about it now, if that helps.
Yes, please
So I'm
do.
Thinking about touching it.
Right. Is and it a pencil?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's not, but it's very good. He doesn't believe in psychic stuff. And, oh, my God, he's nearly just got it. It's so closely related to a pencil, I can't even tell you.
Right.
Oh, my God, I'm shocked to my core.
It's just it's a kind of gift I have. It's the
This is insane.
Yes. Well, these things happen. Yeah.
Well, it's not exactly a pencil. It's a pen lid. But you can
have
that.
Oh, it's pretty close.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we try that again?
No, I can only do it one off.
Oh, okay.
It's just the once. It happens about once a week, and that was it.
Flipping hell.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a magician.
Yeah. And I didn't ask you to write it down beforehand.
No, you didn't.
It was the first.
Bloody.
So, yes. Yeah, here we go.
Like a... Hang on. Like a bridge over cuddled water. This is for the next game. I've got it ready on my phone.
Right.
But
okay.
I want you to know that the phone is coming into play
right.
because Scroobius Pip, this is what I'm getting up, he right. does songs and you have to guess what it is. We replace the song lyrics with the word cuddle.
You know what? I'm going to be worse than bad at this. Mm. I have listened to almost no music in my entire life. Isn't that phenomenal?
How? And why?
I'm just not really into music.
Yeah, fair
I've
enough.
Only been to two concerts.
Yeah.
I've been to see Elton John.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago, who had the best opening line of any act I've ever seen.
What was it?
Came on stage, he sat down at his piano, he looked at the audience and he said, I've been doing this for 65 years. Here we go. And went into 2 hours
yeah.
of
wow.
stuff. I love been doing it for 65 years.
Yeah.
Here we go, wow. and just went into it. It was very good. I saw him, and I saw Queen when I was much, much younger,
yeah.
as opposed to much, much older.
Yeah.
And they're very good. But that's sort of about it. So it's nothing.
Do you know
to,
what? I'm going to get you a.
So it needs to be really, really simple. Otherwise,
yeah, I'm going
to
get
fail.
You. I think you might know this one.
Right. It's quite repetitive. Yeah, I've got the hang of it unless it goes somewhere. Yes. So it's replacing every word with cut.
Yes, that's the joy of it.
Right. I see.
Do you know it?
I have no idea.
Well, it was Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, Islands in the Stream. Islands in the Stream, that is what you are.
I like Dolly Parton.
You got issues with Kenny Rogers?
Yes.
Have
you? The two of us were married for a year, and it was one of the worst years of my entire life.
Oh,
it wasn't the Kenny Rogers.
Ah.
Well, he said he was.
But Well, you didn't win that, I'm afraid, Kenny Rogers aside.
Dolly Parton's a lovely person. She does a lot for charity.
Yeah,
and everyone
I know.
Says so many wonderful things about her. I've never met her, but wonderful things.
And people can tell she's a dream.
Oh, I didn't even know what the song was. What was the song?
Islands in the Stream.
No.
No.
Never heard of it.
No, but have you got any health complaints? Because I'll look it up with Louise. Oh, hey.
I've got a bad shoulder.
Oh, okay. Which one, left or right?
That's a good question. My left one.
We're going to fix that.
Thank you.
Do you like my confidence?
Yeah, love it. Yes.
We're going to fix that.
Right. Heal Your Body, the book is called.
Yeah, it's not even going to hurt.
Okay. Unlike my shoulder.
Yes, exactly. Shoulders represent our ability to carry our experiences in life joyously. We make life a burden by our attitude.
Yes.
And we all have niggles. We all have ups and downs. You've just got to say to yourself, I choose to allow all my experiences to be joyous and loving.
Yeah, that and getting treatment for a trapped nerve. I think it's the two things.
Okay, the two things together.
Yes.
Well, do
in
try
parallel.
A dual approach.
Yes. Yes. Now you said that, it's much better.
Maybe say to the person who's dealing with a trapped nerve, that sort of mantra as
yes.
they're doing it.
Actually, I think they'd really would really benefit from that. Yeah. I'll
okay.
let you know how that goes. I won't text it to you, obviously.
No, please do. I'm hoping that we can be friends, actually. Richard!
Of course we can be friends.
I sort of feel like we could be.
No, we could be.
I feel like there's...
Yes.
There's...
Do you like rice pudding?
Yeah.
No, you don't. That's not
I'm sort of vegan, but a vegan rice pudding.
Does that even exist?
Oh, well, now she's asking. Okay, what can I ask? It's a nosy quezzy, but what were your family like?
Well, they still like it because they're still alive.
Yeah.
But
when you were growing up, I meant more. I didn't take a look at you and think, well, they must all be dead. No, I meant more.
I'm only 25. It's just been very, very stressful.
I meant more the formative years.
I've always looked old.
Have you?
Oh, yes. When I was born, I looked about 12.
No, I meant more the formative years.
I see. They were brilliant. They were very supportive and always said, if it makes you happy, it's fine with that. Because I still wanted to be a magician, you see, when I was very young, from a very young age. And they said, that's absolutely fine, where most parents, let's be honest, wouldn't encourage that. So they said that was all great. And they've always been very encouraging. And also, they've never encouraged any kind of ego-y side of me. They've never sort of said, oh, you're amazing or anything like that.
Yeah.
But they've always been deeply kind of encouraging of the weird things I've done.
That's lovely. So, have you got children yourself?
No.
You'd be such a nice dad to someone. Well, but then you can do it through your children's book anyway, so that's okay.
And other people's children
as well.
I do quite enjoy. What I enjoy is lying to other people's children. That is my favourite thing when I come around the house, is I just lie for hours, tell them stories that are not true, and then their parents are furious. I say, you know, your mum and dad don't love you.
Yes,
they're actually your mum and dad. All these things.
Yeah.
And then the actual parents are furious. I don't
love
understand
to see his dark side, actually. Oh, I won't ask you again, but I'll tell you who will. It's Alan de Botton. That was Luke on keys, if you can believe. Alan de Botton. Do you want a question from Alan de Botton before we finish?
Yes.
Do you like Alan de Botton?
Yeah. We've met a few times and he's a lovely man. You can ask me to choose one of these.
Yeah, pick a card,
trick.
Any card.
Right, I'll take this and this one here. There we go. If you were a beaver.
No, it doesn't say that.
It says if you were a beaver. It
doesn't say
it
that.
It does say that.
Does it actually?
Well, it says if you were braver.
Ah.
And I'm slightly dyslexic. So that's, if you were a beaver, what would you be doing with your life? Have I got to ask you that?
Damn, that's
hey,
good.
Hey, very good. Very good.
Yeah, you have to answer me that or the other one.
All right. Okay. So if you were braver, what would I be doing with my life? Oh, my goodness.
You're already brave. That question doesn't apply unless it's Stuntman.
You see, from a very early age, I thought I wanted to be a magician. I went to America to work in magic when I was about 19, and that changed everything because I decided not to be a magician.
Why?
because I looked at the lives of people who are actually doing it, and it's really hard just going around like weddings and restaurants doing the same thing again and again, constantly on the road, and a lot of them are drunk all the time and so on. So I thought, I don't want to do that, but I do want to do something that's close. And I'd read a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Oh, yeah.
Carnegie's book. And that was about psychology. And I thought, well, magic's about psychology and people are really interesting. So that was this moment in America where I thought I will do magic and psychology. And then that grew into just psychology. And it's very easy in psychology to go along with flow and just do what everyone else is doing. And sometimes, at least to me, it wasn't very interesting. So I've always done my own thing, which is a type of bravery, intellectual bravery. It's not physical bravery. There's a fight, I'm running in the other direction quite quickly. So I suppose that's sort of brave. And that's how I'd answer it.
Well, you haven't got any like you're doing everything you want to do.
I know what I'd do.
Yeah.
Flying trapeze.
Really?
Yeah, I did it when I was 16, 17.
Yeah.
And I was very good. It was amazing. It's amazing. Because the first thing you have to learn is how to fall into a net.
Wow.
Which is really hard. So you have to learn how to fail.
Yeah, nice.
Because if you bounce off an odd angle, it's even worse and so on. So you have to learn how to fail before you can learn how to do flying trapeze. And what I found out was all that stuff was so difficult, so difficult and very painful because you kept on getting bruises and so on. Then I found out that no one in our class got seriously injured because it was obviously all so dangerous.
Yeah.
Following next on in the circus skills thing was the clowns. They all came in and they're all getting chipped bones and things because they're all messing around all the time.
Yeah, right.
So I'd learned quite a lot about safety. So I think I would, I would do flying trapeze.
Wow.
What about you?
I did a trapeze class in Highgate, like on a Tuesday night or whatever, and we didn't learn how to fall because it was very basic. It was like you have to do a 6-week course, and then I had this of elegance of a rhino, so it wasn't really for me. Yeah, I know. It was troubling because you're sort of trying to do this dance really elegantly, and it's just like everyone... Do you know, like sometimes I look at people in comedy and think, ooh, dear, like what... Why are you choosing this path? It's not a natural fit.
Yes.
And that was everyone looking at me in trapeze thinking, come on, love.
Right.
You know, everything about it.
What would you be in the circus if you could be anything?
Ooh. You always feel a bit sorry for the clown, so maybe not the clown.
I'd be the popcorn seller.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
No pressure.
I'd love to be one of the dancers.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the trapeze. I'd love to be the trapeze or doing gymnastics or acrobatics.
Yes.
But it's just not for me this lifetime, and that's okay.
From cradle to podcast, maybe the true listening is with our hearts.
Quick one to finish. What's life all about?
I think it's about this.
Podcast.
I think it is... Us chatting.
Yeah.
I think it is just, this is it. This is the moment. You're only going to get one chance. I'm not a big fan of reincarnation. You're only going to get the one chance. And you only got this moment. We've got no idea what the future's going to bring. And it might be good things, might be bad things. It is just this.
Yeah.
So enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoy lovely. It. Thank you so much. I'm honoured that you've come on my podcast.
Well,
I'm a massive fan.
Very, very kind of you to say that. And thank you very much
and
for inviting me.
I will be recreating the Vice Experiment.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So that was Richard Wiseman, and you can listen to his podcast, and it's very interesting. It'll become your new favourite podcast, Richard Wiseman on Your Mind, with the lovely Marnie. And you can get all of his books. Just look at Richard Wiseman's back catalogue. It's as impressive as it is wide. That's what they say about my vagina. Okay, love you, bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.